Welcome to Zichur Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechur Shabbos, Daf Ein Vav. So the three points we're going to focus on. Point number one, when Ravin came from Babel, he said that there's a malchokas in a case when one carried out bean straw, eitzah, which is typically fed to camels in a large quantity, and he brought it out to feed a cow. Rabbi Yochanan said that one who carried it out is exempt, since cows don't usually eat this, and achila yedeat chak, lo shmei achila, eating in a forced way is not considered eating. Even though it is considered a normal eating for a camel, the amount that he carried out for the cow is not enough to feed a camel. And Rish Lakish said he's liable because he holds achila al yedei etchak shmei achila. Eating in a forced way is considered eating. Point number two, the Mishnah stated that items with different measurements, in order to be liable when carrying them outside, cannot be combined with each other. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said they cannot be combined for the more chamur of them, for the more stringent of them, but they can be combined for the more kal, the more lenient of them. Rashi explains that a feed whose minimum amount is large is considered kal, it's more lenient, and one whose minimum amount is small is considered more chamur, more stringent. Therefore, camel feed, which is considered lenient, cannot be combined with cow feed to complete the minimum amount of a cow's mouthful. But cow feed, which is considered more chamur, more stringent, can be combined with camel feed to complete the minimum amount of a camel's mouthful. And point number three, the opening mishnah of the eighth parak lists the minimum measures of various beverages and liquids, such as wine, milk, honey, oil, and water, to be liable for carrying on Shabbos. The Talmud Kama holds that all other liquids are revius. Rabbi Shimon holds that all liquids are revius. The smaller measurements only apply to one who stored those substances in such small quantities. So once again, the three points are, number one, when Ravin came from Babel, he said there's a malchokas in a case where one carried out bean straw, it's called eitzah. He carried out bean straw, which is typically fed to camels in a large quantity, and he carried it out to feed a cow. Rabbi Yochanan said the one who carried it out is exempt, since cows don't usually eat this, and achila al yedei etchak, lo shmei achila, eating in a forced way is not considered eating. Even though it is considered a normal eating for a camel, the amount that he carried out for the cow is not enough to feed a camel. And Rish Lakish said he is liable because he holds achila al yedei etchak shmei achila, eating in a forced way is considered eating. Point number two, the Mishnah stated that items with different measurements, in order to be liable when carrying them outside, cannot be combined with each other. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said they cannot be combined for the more chamur of them, the more stringent of them, but they can be combined for the more kal, the more lenient of them. Rashi explains that a feed whose minimum amount is large is considered more kal, it's more lenient, and one whose minimum amount is small is considered more chamur, more stringent. Therefore, camel feed, which is considered more kal, it's more lenient, cannot be combined with cow feed to complete the minimum amount of a cow's mouthful. But cow feed, which is considered more chamur, more stringent, can be combined with camel feed to complete the minimum amount of a camel's mouthful. And point number three, the opening mishnah of the eighth parak lists the minimum measures of various beverages and liquids, such as wine, milk, honey, oil, and water, to be liable for carrying on Shabbos. The Tanna Kamma holds that all other liquids are revius. Rabbi Shimon holds that all liquids are revius. The smaller measurements only apply to one who stored those substances in such small quantities. All right, so now we go to our siman. Once again, a lot of great suggestions. Ellie suggested oy vey. Kalman said, ooh. We had Uri suggesting, oh, Canada. That was funny. We had Yossi saying, a kid eating oodles. We had a lot more. But I'm going to go with Yeshua Eisenberg, who suggested ein vav is an IV tube. An IV tube. I like that one. So Yeshua Eisenberg, thank you very much for IV tube for ein vav. So here goes. The patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet was hooked up on the IV tube and told that he could only drink a revius of any liquid. Once again, in slow motion. The patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet was hooked up on the IV tube. The IV tube, that means we're on Daf, Ein Vav. The patient who forced himself to eat camel food, which reminds us, when Ravin came from Babel, he said there's malchokas in a case where one carried out bean straw, eitzah, which is typically fed to camels in a large quantity to feed a cow. Rabbi Yochanan said that one who carried it out is exempt, and cows do not usually eat this. And achila al yedei etchak, lo shmei achila, eating in a forced way, is not considered eating. Even though it's considered a normal eating for a camel, the amount that he carried out for the cow was not enough to feed a camel. Rish Lakish said he is liable because he holds achila al yedei etchak, shmei achila, eating in a forced way is considered eating. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food, combined with some more stringent cow food, to win a bet, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that items with different measurements, in order to be liable when carrying them outside, cannot be combined with each other. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said they cannot be combined for the more chamur, the more stringent of them, but they can be combined for the more kal, the more lenient of them. And Rashi explains that a feed whose minimum amount is large is considered lenient, and one whose minimum amount is small is considered stringent. Therefore, a camel feed, which is considered lenient, cannot be combined with cow feed to complete the minimum amount of a cow's mouthful. But cow feed, which is considered more chamor, more stringent, can be combined with camel feed to complete the minimum amount of a camel's mouthful. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet was hooked up on the IV tube and told that he could only drink a revius of any liquid. Which reminds us, the opening mission, the eighth parak, lists the minimum measures of various beverages and liquids such as wine, milk, honey, oil, and water to be liable for carrying on Shabbos. The Talmud holds that all other liquids are revius. Rabbi Shimon holds that all liquids are revius. The smaller measurements only apply to one who stored those substances in such small quantities. So once again, the patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet was hooked up on the IV tube and told that he could only drink a revius of any liquid. All right, now it's time for our four blah bag chazara. Dafayim base. So the simplifying base is thick slabs of birthday cakes. Here goes. The person cutting five thick slabs of birthday cake. Thick slabs of birthday cake, that means we're on daf, I'm base. The person cutting five thick slabs of birthday cake at the Shefcha Charufa's birthday party felt guilty, which reminds us, Ula said that according to Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that an Ashem Vadai does not require prior awareness of the violation to be effective, if one has relations with the Shefcha Charufa, betrothed slave woman, five times b'shogeg, he's only liable for one Ashem, even if the violations were committed during different lapses of awareness. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Tarfon, since an Ashem Vadai does not require prior awareness, it's clear that awareness is not a significant factor. Therefore, even when the transgressor has awareness, it's as if he committed all five of the transgressions in the same lapse and is only liable for one Ashem. So the person cutting five thick slabs of birthday cake at the Shifcha Charufa's birthday party felt guilty when he dropped the cake knife and accidentally pulled up a turnip instead. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the case of one who intended to lift something that was detached from the ground, such as a knife that had dropped in the vegetable patch, but accidentally cut something that was attached, such as a vegetable. He's not liable to bring a chatas. Rashi explains that he's called a misasig, one who is preoccupied with doing something else. This is learned from the pasuk asher chata ba, that he sinned in it. The extra word ba in it teaches that one is only obligated to bring a chatas if he had awareness of doing the act that would make him liable. So the person cutting five thick slabs of birthday cake at the Shifcha Charufa's birthday party felt guilty when he dropped the cake knife and accidentally pulled up a turnip instead, and then cut another one instead of the cake. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes amoraim in the case of one who intended to cut something that was detached from the ground, but accidentally cut something that was attached to the ground. Rava says he's exempt from bringing a chatas because he didn't intend to do a prohibited act of cutting. He's therefore still in the category of a misasik. Abai says he's liable to bring a chatas because he intended some form of cutting. According to Abaya, misasik only applies when the person intended to do a completely different act, such as lifting instead of cutting. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the Simfra Ayin Gimel is an ostrich egg. So here goes. The ostrich egg, that means we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. The ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings two additional disputes between Abai and Rav regarding misasik, preoccupation. If someone intended to throw an object two amos, but threw it four amos instead, Rava says he's exempt because he didn't intend to throw it for amos. Abai says he is liable because he intended a throwing of some sort. And the second case is if someone thought he was throwing in a reshus to Yachid, but finds out it was a reshus to Rabim, Rava says he is exempt because he didn't intend a prohibited throw. Abai says he's liable because he intended some throw. The Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach all three disputes between Abai and Rava. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four, while reciting the Lametes Malachos by heart. Which reminds us that the next mission in the parak enumerates the 39 malachas. 11 malachas relate to the preparation of food. 13 malachas relate to the processing of wool. 7 malachas relate to the preparation of leather. And 8 malachas relate to construction. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four, while reciting the Lametes malachas by heart. Losers had to dig a hole in their houses to get dirt to cover the eggs if they broke. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said that one who digs a hole in the floor of his house on Shabbos, but requires only its earth, is exempt even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Malacha Shein and Tzricha L'gufa Chai V'Leah. One who performs a forbidden labor not needed for its divine purpose is nevertheless liable for it. Rabbi Yehuda only holds that when the person is Mesakin, he's rectifying something, not when he's Mekalkel, ruining something. And in this case, the person is ruining his house. Daf Ayin Dalet. So the Simra Ayin Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that means we're on Daf Ayin Dalet. The witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to understand a cryptic brisa that said as follows. If a person has different types of food before him, he may do borer and eat. He may do borer and leave it for others to eat. He may not do borer, and if he did do borer, he's liable to bring a chatas. After the first four pshatim are rejected, the fifth pshat from Abai is accepted. Abai explains the brisa to mean that one may do borer and eat immediately, or alter, and one may do borer and have others eat immediately. But he may not do borer to eat later on that day, and if he did do borer to eat later on, it's as if he did borer for storage, and he's liable to bring a chatas. So the witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately for baking bread and cooking, dies, which reminds us, Rapapa asks why the Tana of the Mishnah chose not to list the cooking of herbs, which was done in the construction of the Mishkan for the preparation of dyes, and mentioned baking instead, which was not done in the construction of the Mishkan. The Gemara answers, the Tana chose sidur de pas, the malachas that are involved in the baking of bread. Rashi explains that the Tana began with malachas that are only applicable to bread, choresh, zoreya. Therefore, he continues discussing the malacha baking, which is the equivalent of cooking herbs for dyes. So the witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately for baking bread and cooking dyes, got caught lying when he said he also saw her spin wool off the back of an animal. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that one who spins wool that is still on the back of an animal on Shabbos is liable to bring three chatas offerings. One for gozes, shearing, one for menapets, combing, and one for tovis, spinning. Rav Kahana said he's pater from bringing any chatas, since this is not the usual way to do these malachas. The Gemara explains that even though the woman involved in the building the Mishkan did these malachas while the wool was on the backs of the animals, they were only able to do so because they were blessed with extraordinary wisdom. Ordinary people cannot do these malachas this way, and therefore it is considered an unusual manner. Daf Ein Hey, so the Simfer Ein Hey is an Amah Aretz, so here goes. The Amah Aretz, that means we're on Daf Ein Hey. The Amah Aretz try to predict weather patterns, which reminds us, it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan that the source said it's a mitzvah on a person to calculate the tekufos and the mezalos, the progression of the seasons and the position of the constellations. It's from the pasuk Ushmartim vasisim kihi chachmaschem livinaschem l'nei amim. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. Now, what wisdom and discernment are there in the eyes of the nations? It's the calculation of the tekufos and the mezalos. And Rashi explains that one can know for certain if someone truly has wisdom in these areas because it can be seen if he's able to correctly predict weather patterns which are based upon the movement of the sun and constellations. So the Amah Aretz try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at his blue dye. Which reminds us, there's a Malchokas and I'm brought in a brisa regarding the trapping of a chilazon and squeezing it with one's hands to extract the blood in order to produce blue dye. Rav Yehuda holds that he's liable for the trapping and for the squeezing as well, since Patsia Bakladish squeezing is a tolda of threshing. The Rabban hold he's only liable for trapping, since Patsia Labakladisha squeezing is not a tolda of threshing. Rav explains that according to the Rabban, threshing only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. So the Amah Aretz try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at its blue dye, proudly storing away its broken shell fragments that everyone else considered worthless. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states another general rule, kla acher, that whatever is fit to store, and people usually store in a certain quantity, meaning an amount fitting to be stored, and one carried it out on Shabbos, one is liable to bring a chatas. The Mishnah continues that whatever is not fit to store, since it's not used by people, or it's used by people, but it's not a quantity that people store away for later use, then only a person who stored it away would be liable a chatas for carrying it out on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person took a liking to the object and stored it away. Others who carried out the same item would be exempt, since the majority of people do not consider it, or its size, significant enough. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we learn that borer is mutter if one's going to eat the food immediately? That's on daf Ein Dalet. Great. Which daf do we discuss suck regarding tuma? That's on daf Samach Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we identify what is considered chachma in the eyes of the nations? That's on daf Ein Hey. Great. Number 4. Which daf do we list in the Mishnah the Lamites Malachos? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Great. Number 5. Which daf do we have a Malachos regarding Achila al Yidei Adchak? Whether it's considered Achila? That's on daf Ein Vav. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have the concept of Goreres? That's on daf Ein Av. Great. Number 7. Which daf do we learn why the Tana used Ofe in the list, as opposed to Bishol? That's on Daf Ein Dalet. Great. Number 8. Which daf do we learn the concept that one can combine a more stringent food with a less stringent food to complete the shear of the more lenient food? That's on Daf Ein Vav. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn that one should tie a knot on a son's arm if the son's going to miss the father? That's on Duff. Samach Vav. Great. Number 10. Which stuff do we discuss what life will be like in the days of Mashiach? That's on Duff. Samach Gimel. Good. Now the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Which stuff do you learn the bracha on a keshes, on a rainbow? That's on Duff. Nun Tes, great. Number 2, which stuff we have Malchok is regarding which tree was the Eitz Hadas? That's on Duff. Mem, great. Number 3, which stuff we have Malchok is regarding what the pshat is in the pasuk of Vasafta Digenecho? That's on Duff. Lemon Hay, excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions of Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.